I want to introduce my wife Amelia to you. And did you want to share anything? My lovely wife?
No, actually, we kind of, well, he was going to tell me what he was going to share today, and I said, no. And he was asking me, what are you going to share? I said, I'm not telling you. So what I wanted to say to him, well, my name's Amelia Stark. I'm from a community called Glasson, which is a First Nations community outside of Fort St. James. And I am Carrier Nation. And we have four beautiful children. They're growing up. We're still praying for grandchildren, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. So we have two boys, two girls. So I just wanted to share my experience when I first got saved. Well, it didn't happen, like it wasn't a miracle or anything like that until I got water baptized. Is when I, 2 years after I got saved, I got water baptized, and amazing. Like when I, my sister and I were driving down the road back home, and it was amazing. Like the trees were so bright green. The sky was blue. The air was fresh. I can hear the birds singing, and one thing that came to, I started singing, and my sister agreed with me. It was Psalms 51, 10, 12 came to me. And it's just amazing, creating me a clean heart. He did that day. When the pastor said, okay, Amelia, you can get water baptized, and when you go down, you're going to leave everything that hindered your walk with God down in the water, and you're going to come up new. And I said, whoa. And it happened because I believed that was going to happen. And it says and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And it happened. It did. Do not cast me away from your presence, O Lord. And he didn't. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He's always there with me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. I'm telling you, I laughed and laughed. My sister and I just laughed. I tell her about, look how green it is. We laughed. It was just amazing, amazing experience. I will never forget it. And it was on August 21st, 1988. That's how awesome it was for me to even remember that date. Then 2 months later, I met my husband. We didn't know we were going to be it. And it's just amazing. So I just want to share that with you, that how awesome, like, it hasn't been, like, all glory and all joyous and everything since for 32 years. We went through our struggles, but we also know that God never leaves us. So I better quit talking and let him share. Thank you.
Is not what she normally does, share. So this is good. She's stepping out in faith. God, yeah, when she says 32 years, you know, I mean, I can't tell 32 years of walking with the Lord, but I was lost, and now I am found, right? And the Lord has shown himself faithful to me every single day. And, you know, no matter the depths that I've, you know, fallen or the heights that I've climbed, God remains the same. You know, Jesus Christ is the same. For me, he is my life. He is everything. So when I was seeking the Lord, I was, you know, asking the Holy Spirit, you know, okay, you know, what am I going to bring you know, preach the call. That's like a weird, you know, preach the call. Wow, what is preach the call? You know, if you just said come and preach, well, then, you know, it's so much easier. But when you're preaching the call, I wasn't sure. So I asked the Holy Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit tells me, he goes, just be yourself. And I'm like, well, that's no help. That's no good. You know, what am I going to do? So I phoned up a mentor friend of mine. He's Pastor Jim Brown Sr. I asked him to tell him about, okay, so I was invited to preach the call. And, you know, he's 75 years at least, or going on there, and has had many, been in many, many churches. And so I was asking him, he goes, just be yourself. I'm like, what? Come on. You know, but he says, and listen to the Holy Spirit. So obviously, I'm going to just be myself, and I am who I am. What you see is what you get. You know, there's no, I'm not a professional pastor by any means. I am a called one. I am a son of the Most High God, and I've gone on many adventures, and there's many adventures yet to come. And each and every day can be an adventure in Him. You know, and so I was saved in 1983, originally. I know I was born again. What brought me to the Lord was the Word of God. I was in high school. I read the Word of God. I knew I needed a Savior. I knew I was a sinner, you know, the sinner of, you know, beyond. You know, I don't go into it because I was lost. I had no hope. I read the Word of God. I knew I needed to be saved. As a child, I probably had said the sinner's prayer 100 times, but nothing ever happened. You know, until after high school, I moved to Kelowna, and quickly, I'll try and be quick. I went to a, that's a long story. I'll just say I got saved in Kelowna. I walked into a church off the street. Before, I'd never really gone to a church. I didn't know what church was. So my vision of church was going to be, you know, pews, and old people, and an old bald-headed preacher with a white collar, right? And I went into church, and it just blew my mind. I went to a place, it was a charismatic church at the time, they called it in the 80s, Kelowna Christian Center, and it was full, hundreds and hundreds of people of every age, every race, you know. It was wonderful, and it blew my mind. And so that's where my journey began in the Lord. I soon after was called to Bible school, and that's a story I'll share one day, Lord willing. And I did 2 years in Christ for Canada Bible Institute. And then a few years later, well, in 1988, October 1st, 1988, well, it was before that, but I felt that the Lord totally confirmed and sent me to go to Fort St. James to be a missionary. And I went there to save the world. You know, I was full of myself. I was so full of myself, and it wasn't long that I couldn't believe it. So being radically born again, right, to go all of a sudden be in a place of darkness where you don't even know if you're saved was the craziest time of my entire life. It was the worst, and I know I can never go back there, because what God revealed to me about His love, His mercy, His grace, and it's a continual thing that brings me through day by day, right? So so we've been there, we got married, we raised 4 children, and we were part of many prayer groups, went to many villages, you know, done many, you know, parts of many different things. I worked in a sawmill for most of that time there, and I have many stories of how God, you know, worked in my life in the sawmill, the things that He did. You know, I don't know if anyone's ever worked for a union, but unions have pretty strict rules. And, you know, I worked in a couple different mills. One time I never, ever wanted to go back, but I needed a job. I went back. God said, told me go. I go back to this mill. I work at this job. It was called the Eliminator. And I did it for a 10-hour shift. I stood in one place and I sorted wood. And I had, previous to that, I had spent almost 10 years in a sawmill and I hated it. But so I did this job. I went, got the job. I did this 10-hour shift. Called the Eliminator. I walked out the door, and with all of my heart, and my story is about all my heart. My life story with Jesus is about all my heart, right? So with all my heart, I said to Him, I said, God, I hate this. But thank you, and with all my heart, thank you for this job. And then the next day I got a call, and they said, hey, you know, it says you had some quality control experience. This was a union mill, and this wasn't a staff position, they were saying. They said, would you like to be quality control, you know, in our mill? This is a large Canfor mill. And I don't know how it happened, but then for the next few years, I was quality control, which was like, yay, this is totally different. This is way better. Something new every day, every minute of the day, you're doing different things. It was great. Anyway, that wasn't one of the stories I wanted to talk about, but it does show you, you know, God can bypass a union, you know, and put you in a place of authority, you know, with one day's experience. And, you know, and the next thing you know, you're looking after whole shifts of doing quality control. And so, you know, nothing is impossible for him. The mill shut down, and I called that Pastor Jim Brown Sr., who I knew and had been a part of the church that we were, and asked him, you know, what now? I had done the Bible school. I knew I was called. There's a purpose and a calling on my life that God has given me, right? I really believe that he's raising me up to show his power in me, that his name will be proclaimed and glorified, right? And even to the ends of the earth. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed us to preach good news, right? To see the blind recover their sight, that the blind would see, to bind up the brokenhearted, right? This is the call of the body of Christ. This is the anointing that is upon us. This is the journey that we're to pursue, to find that freedom ourselves and to, see, I can't teach, by the way. If I bring a whole teaching and study and have it, next thing you know, I'll be preaching, right? So, but that's what I believe. God has anointed me. He's given me his Holy Spirit, and it's to be a body ministry. One alone can do so much or chase a thousand. But, you know, when there are many and we're functioning as a body, you know, there's no limits to what God can do through us, right? How will the world know that we are his disciples? By our love one for another. And that is the journey. I really agreed with the core values I read here. The vision and the scriptures were all made me smile. I thought they were great. So I'm going to share this scripture. What I believe is what God spoke to me. He said in Ephesians 3, 8, I have it in, if I start waving my phone, you know, it's because I have 50 different versions. I don't have to have 50 Bibles sitting, you know, piled up high to grab the one that I want. And I really appreciate the technology. And I also have hard, you know, cover Bibles and leather Bibles. But I do use my phone a lot. And sometimes one guy was laughing at me because I'm like, you know, preach the word, and I'm waving my phone at people. And, you know, people are used to them lifting up the Bibles, preachers, and waving the Bible. The sword, you know, the sword of the Spirit. But it's in here. I have a great app that I use. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. So in the New King James Version, it says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I believe this is a call that's on my life. I evangelize. I want people to come to know Jesus. Obviously, I mean, there's no, you know, that should just goes without saying. That's our heart's cry, right? That people come to know the Jesus that we have come to know, the Savior, right? The Creator, you know, our God, you know. The songs today were great. So in another, that's the New King James. I want to read it in the New Living. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Every day, there's potential to discover new treasures in Christ. It doesn't end, you know, 32 years ago with salvation. You know, it every day, there's endless treasure. There's no one here. John spoke, said he's been with the Lord, I forget how many years. 67 years? 67 years. You know, praise God, hallelujah. You know, like, wow. So, and even in 67 years, I know that there's treasures available for in Christ for John, even after walking, for him to have revelation and full of joy, you know, to the renewing of his youth and his strength. Because God is an awesome God, and his word is what brought me to him, and it is his word I stand on each and every day. It's his word I look to for guidance. It's his word that brings deliverance. It's his word that brings healing. He is the word of God. He is alive. He is powerful. It is all about him, and it's not about us. Right? And if we can learn to dwell in that place of unity, he will command blessing. Right? And we want to see him glorified. So that was the NLT. I'm going to read another version. Let's do the NIV. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people. Like, I read that because that's how I feel. But when you hear the rest of the story, you may think I don't. But that is truly what I believe. That I am, you know, as the less than the least of all the Lord's people. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Amplified. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's people, this grace, which is undeserved, was graciously given to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the incomprehensible riches of Christ. They are beyond knowing, and yet we get to grow in them and know them every day if we pursue him. And if we have the faith to receive from him and to listen to him and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. This is a living relationship that we're in. We are the living body of Christ. We are not dead. You know, we're dead to sin, and we're alive to God. Alive to God. And joy should be abundant because we didn't deserve any of it. And we should return to that first love. And we should be praising him and be just as full of joy or more. Our joy should be even fuller because he's put up with us for how many years we have known him. You know, 32 years. For me, since 83, that's 37 years God has put up with me. I've been in the way 37 years. God's finally said, get out of my way and let me do what I want. No. Sorry. I try humor, but anyway. So to proclaim to the Gentiles, and that is us, right? All of us and the world. We are the Gentiles. Unless you are a born-again Jewish believer, we are still the Gentiles. But we are one in Christ, whether Jew or Greek or native or Filipino or Fijian, right? One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is the hosts of the millions, the multitudes that are before the Lamb, worshiping him, bowing down of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We are not a white man's religion, you know, and we can reach out and learn about cultures and different things, but let's not get too sidetracked. So, to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the incomprehensible riches of Christ, that spiritual wealth which no one can fully understand, and to make plain to everyone the plan of the mystery. Oh, I went on to another verse. Okay. So that's what I feel that I'm called to do. I'm called to help people come into a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, some of you will have way beyond me already, right? You know, and I'm going to learn about the riches and the treasures that he's revealed to you over the years, right? But there's other things. There's truth in the Word of God that we need to explore and understand and preach and to share and to live, right? To glorify his name. I'm going to go to another scripture in, Revelations chapter 4. Verses 9 to 11. I'm going to go to the New King James. Usually I default to the New King James Version, but lots of times it'll be the NIV or the NLT or, you know, that's what I like the app. So, it says in verse 9, when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to receive all praise, honor, glory, power, might, and dominion. You know, in all the universe, Jesus Christ alone was found worthy. You know, when you read in Revelations and John wept, and he wept bitterly. You know, he was devastated. Nobody was found worthy to open the scroll. And the angel told him, hold it, wait. One was found worthy. And that is who we trust in. That is the name above every name. It is the only name given to man by which they can be saved. Right? Jesus. So, the reason I read that scripture, because I want to share part of my heart and one of my stories. You know, and that spoke to me one time, that scripture, right? Like the 24 elders throwing, you know, like, Jesus alone is worthy. So they gave out their crowns. I went to a meeting a long time ago. It was called Fan the Flame. It was many years. This is an older story, but I want to share this. I go to this meeting. I'm not going to mention the preacher because some people will just close their hearts right away. But at the time, God was using this man. We went up there with a busload of young people, first from different villages, First Nations. We went to Prince George's City for a meeting. It's called Fan the Flame. There's this preacher there, and he's preaching. And then all of a sudden, his countenance kind of changed. And I'm like looking at him, and it looked like I can't say this has happened to me, but all of a sudden, he looked like he was drinking. He wasn't drinking, but all of a sudden, it looked like, so something, you know, he became like, intoxicated in the spirit, some would say, or drunk, not on wine, but in the spirit. So, and I didn't know the guy or nothing. I'm sitting there, and I'm a skeptic, but I resist it, and I choose to believe what God shows me. Anyway, so he's there, and he's preaching, and then he takes his hands, and he goes, and he walks around, and he says, and he starts giving people crowns, right? A crown of joy. A crown of life, a crown of glory. All these are in the Word. I actually have a message about crowns, you know. But I'm sitting there in my heart, and he's giving these out. I mean, one of my nephews was slain in the spirit. He's laid out for 30 minutes. I don't even know if he knew what was going on. He was just like boom, and 30 minutes he didn't twitch. And there's dancing and noise and preaching and stuff going on. Anyway, that's important that you hear that. So that this guy's handing out crowns. I'm a little bit further back. But in my heart, I'm jealous. Oh, man, just if I could have a crown, right? If he could come over to me, put a crown on my head, you know. But I'm mature, so Lord, I thank you that you will give me the crown. You know, anyway. So now I want to proceed. Because God never forgets things. He remembers everything. He knew the condition of my heart that moment. He knew my heart's cry. Right, so later on, there's this lady in our church, and she was teaching some people on how to listen in prayer. And me, sometimes I battle my little religion here. I'm going to do a test on religion right now. So God sent me here to tell you that Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. Just checking. Okay, there's some. Seeing if anybody gets really mad at that statement, because we know God shows no favoritism. But you know what? The love of God is just that. It is so vast and so big. You know, when the scripture says that you are the apple of his eye, well, is he saying it just to me? No. He's saying it to you. He's saying it to you. He's saying it to you. It's to all of us. His love is so big. It is as we can walk with him. Because, you know, favoritism is a human thing, but we can know that the love of God is such that each and every one of us are his favorites. You know, he would have done what he had to do, Jesus, to purchase any one of us if we were the only ones lost. He would have left the 99 for the one. The love of God is unsearchable, vast, huge, humongous, larger than the oceans, more than space. And it is for each and every one of us to walk in and to claim and to have boldness and confidence, right? God is love. Where, you know, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, right? Okay, back on to my little story. So this lady's teaching about listening prayer. I'm busy. I'm in the church. You know, I'm being a Martha probably, you know, like I'm busy doing stuff. I'm in and out of the kitchen. I'm, you know, she has this little group of people in these chairs and I'm listening. And she's saying, okay, we're going to do an exercise. And she says about this exercise. So she says, okay, I want each of you to talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, if you could play a game with me right now, what would it be and why? I tell you, my religious nature just got an irk. You know, like, I just couldn't believe that she was asking them to do this, right? I don't know why I had a problem with it, but I couldn't do it, right? And I would listen to some of the answers, and I'm like, what? You know, like, it was just a weird thing for me, right? But God remembers these things. And so one day, I was at home. I think I was going to be working the afternoon shift, and I watched a DVD on this gathering of First Nations and people. I don't remember what it was called, maybe The Cry or something, but it was really powerful, really emotional, really full of the Spirit of God, and it made me really emotional. And I had to go. Maybe I was in graveyard, but I went to my room. I was going to take a nap or something, but I'm there and I asked God. All of a sudden it came to me. I just felt like I should ask God that question. So I said this. I said, Jesus, if you could play a game. Oh, let me stop before I ask the question. Let me tell you something about myself. I've always liked games, you know, board games, chess, video games, you name it, games, sports, play some football, do some this, some that. I really, really liked games. It was, you know, my son, you know, I'll just say, and, you know, forgive us, but he's a professional video game player. He makes money as much as I did as an electrician playing a video game. Who knew, right? But anyway, so that tells you that kind of trickled down into his life playing this video game. So I liked games. So I asked Jesus. I said, Jesus, if you would play any game with me right now, what would it be? And why, right? And all of a sudden, clear as a bell, I heard in my heart, checkers. And I couldn't believe it. I was almost offended. I was like, checkers? Like, checkers would be one of my least favorite games. Right? It would be one of my least simple, childish, you can't lose, you know. So I stopped, though, before I offended God. Like, oh, the fear of God. Hold it. We're having a conversation here. I'm not allowed to be offended. So I said, okay, Jesus, why? Why would Jesus want to play checkers with me? And he said, so I can crown you. You know, when you get to the other end, you get crowned, you become a king, and you can move in every direction, and you have authority, and you can double jump whichever way you want. And that was a powerful, powerful moment of Jesus Christ speaking into my life that was over a course of years. It wasn't a one moment, one day thing. God doesn't forget the promises that he's made to us, and he doesn't forget our heart's cry. And he spoke to me, and he said, so I can crown you. I couldn't believe it, because the greatest desire in my heart after that time at that meeting was, I want a crown. And I didn't share that with anybody, but I wanted to be like the elders, and I want to have something when I get to heaven that I can lay at his feet, because he alone is worthy. And so I don't know how, in all things, I trust God, and I want to build treasure in heaven. You know, and it's little things, and it's bigger things, but I want to lay at the feet of Jesus treasure, because he alone is worthy, and there's nothing I can do on this planet without him. I need Holy Spirit to fill me, to lead me, to guide me, and I really need him to speak to me because it empowers me when I hear his voice. And that was one story. And so, I'm going to read in closing. Sorry, I take too long. I can bring short messages too. Just so you know, I like short and sweet. I like, boom, mic drop, walk away, you know? Like, just, because the Word of God is my strength, it's my joy, it's my life. It's what got me saved. It's what, it's brought me through the darkest times. It's all I have, you know, and we all need the Word. We need to renew our minds in it. Ephesians, I had a dream when I was asking the Lord about what to share. And I usually don't, you know, I mean, and I just kept dreaming in this dream, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1. So I decided to read from Ephesians 1. When I read the Word of God, and you turn to the Word of God, and I was tempted, like, shout out a scripture. Because when you start reading the Word of God, no matter where you go, you're going to discover how good He is. And how powerful He is. And how much He is on our side and for us and not against us. And whatever is in our hearts to do, we can do because He is with us, right? He dwells within us. You know, and it might be a different way that we have to reach people in this day and age. And COVID days, you can't even reach out. You knock on your neighbor's door and they're going to, you know, you got to be, good thing we don't live in the States. But anyway, let's not go there. So on verse 3 is what I want to close with. And I, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Man, there is so much in that scripture. Every spiritual blessing, you know, we're to search out, I you know, together, wherever God sends me, what we do, I want to, as the body, a part of His universal body, seek to bring glory to His name. Not our name, not my name, not unto us, but unto Your name bring glory. To be humble and gentle and honoring and listening and obedient, you know. And I am a very real person. And when it says the least, you know, I have no claim to fame or no glory. I just want to walk daily with Christ. And I want those that I walk with to be able, that we would be coming in with such a great amount of treasure. We know He promises crowns because He is worthy, and we'll lay them at His feet. And so however God, you know, I'm not looking for employment, right? Not at all. I would really hate to be treated as an employee. When it's a call of God on my life, if He sends me in, then that's how I will pursue it. And that's what I look at, right? And it's a day-by-day journey, ups and downs and all arounds. You know, when I share about the Word of God, and I share about the joy, and I share about the excitement, I'm not naive. I just went through, honestly, probably the hardest week or two of my life. As my best friend, who I thought I would be in the ministry for years, you know, died tragically, right? But yet, man, he's in glory. Lucky guy. Yeah, you know, but we're left with that loss. And so there's lots of things that happen in our lives as Christians. But we can still have joy because God has chosen us. He has chosen us, predestined us to be adopted as sons and to bring glory to His name. And if you guys are about bringing glory to His name, that, you know, like, I mean, I want to be a part of it. If not, if we want to be, you know, I mean, church is great, pew warmers, I'm not afraid to push buttons, poke the bear, you know, like, I want to glorify Jesus, whatever it takes. And it's a living relationship with Him and his body. So I'm going to leave it there. I can keep going, as you can all probably figure out by now. But like I say, I can be short and sweet too. So I'll just close in prayer, and then I guess you want to do a question period. I reserve the right to defer to much Bible study before I answer any you know complicated questions. So, but anyway, God is so good to us. You know, the knowing, Father, of you and your love for us is beyond knowing, and you challenge us to know it. You challenge us to know you, to call upon you, to see that you are true to your word, that it is impossible for you to lie. And we have your word that you have given us, and we have the living word, and Jesus Christ, who is the word of God, dwelling within us by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would be exalted in our lives, be exalted in this day. May these brothers and sisters, dearly loved ones, bought and paid for, redeemed, the beloved, be challenged today, Lord, to grow in grace, to grow in you, and to pursue you wholeheartedly. Lord, to let freely go anything that would hinder, but to keep their eyes fixed upon you. We love you, Lord. You know, I have instant family. No matter what transpires, this is family that we will walk into eternity together with. And may you bless them, bless this congregation. Your will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen.